morning, Matt and Robin are gone to a pastor's retreat for the weekend. Glad they can get away to relax and hopefully rejuvenate. We have Pastor Roger Crawford with us this morning and his wife Linda from Union. Roger pastored at the Baptist Church in Union for many years. I don't know how many, but many years. So if you would come, Roger, we're glad to have you this morning. Thank you.
Thank you so much for the privilege to be here in Bangor today. What a joy it is to drive by here almost every day, it seems like. I like taking the back way to Marshalltown. We go over there to the Y at least three times a week. And we are glad to be anywhere, you know. At our age, we're just glad that we were invited, and we appreciate so much Bangor. Our church in Union actually is part of Bangor. It is the old schoolhouse. The years ago, back in the 50s, they moved the schoolhouse from across the road here to Union, and the church there, Baptist Church, was starting, and they put that over a basement, and that's the old part of Calvary Baptist Church in Union. So, you know, every once in a while, I think I look at that and say, well, that was at Bangor, you know. And so we're glad that we can be a part of the community here and to be able to thank the Lord for you. Drive by, I pray for you. I pray that God is using you for His glory, and I trust that He is. And we're thankful that God uses us in many different ways. That thankful for that. Joe, thanks again for your conversation with me. Joe asked me this morning, I said, well, you were a coon hunter, weren't you? And I sure was. I think I must have told a coon hunting story when I was here before. But, you know, I kind of don't do that anymore. You know, you got to be a little bit touched in the head to go out in the dark at night and follow a coon dog or two, you know, and fall over a log and fall in the creek and all kinds of stories I could tell you about going out in the woods. Some of you may have done that, so you know. You know, sometimes someone would want to go with me, and usually about once would do it. And so it's got to be something that's kind of in your blood. The hunting period, you know, that some of you are hunters. It's this time of year, you know, I see all this roadkill of these coons, you know. I thought, man, you know, somebody needs to be hunting these critters. There's too many of them around. And again, God is good. Linda, my wife, we've been married 62 years, and so thankful that she stayed with me all this time, and that God has blessed us with three children, two sons and a daughter. Our sons, Mike Crawford, was chaplain for the Iowa National Guard, the Army Guard, and the Air Guard. He was the state over all the chaplains in the state and just retired from that. And then our youngest son is pastor in Toledo, Ohio, at the Emmanuel Baptist Church. And our daughter is in the best place. She's in heaven. She went to be with the Lord here a few years ago. And someone said, well, do you know where she's at? Yeah, we do. We know where she's at. She's in heaven. And God says that's a much better place. So we're thankful that we had her for 43 years. And she had four children and a husband that she left behind, but we have the privilege of helping out with them even now. So it's good to have grandchildren. I think we have 14, and one of them's in heaven, and then we have 11 great-grandchildren, and one that's coming about again here, another one. So the greats are outgrowing the regular grandchildren. Some of you getting older, you know that. So thanks again. And today I wanted us to think about something that you're very familiar with here in Bangor. And the scripture is very familiar. Jesus used it as an illustration, a figurative speaking that's so important to you and me, and that is the harvest. And the verse I want to use is a familiar verse, but one I want us to start out with that is in Matthew chapter 9. Verse 37, Matthew chapter 9, verse 37. Then he, Jesus, said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few." Heavenly Father, I pray you would just help us, guide and direct us through this scripture, that we might see the harvest today. Lord, we see the physical harvest all around us. Some here today are really involved in that, and some others that are working even now to provide the food and the necessity that we need in life to live. And so we're thankful today for everyone that makes that possible. Thank you for the country we live in, for this part of the country. What a blessing it is to be part of the harvest. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Well, we find that the harvest here is figuratively speaking of Jesus looking out over all the people that he was gathered with there, and looking at the multitude, as we see earlier in the scripture here, and realizing that all these people were a harvest. They were a harvest, not a physical harvest or the crops, although there were physical healings and things that Jesus did, certainly to help with all the multitudes, all the people. But mainly, Jesus was looking at their souls, their lives, all the people, a lot of people, the multitudes. You know, Nana, we call her, our Nana, Linda, my wife, I have the privilege of working at the Iowa State Fair every year here for several years, and we are in the information booth in the cultural building. Some of you have been through there. We have a booth there that we tell people where things are at in that building, the cultural building, all the different departments. And then the whole fair, seems like people ask us a lot of questions about the whole fair, and they supply us, you know, with brochures and maps and everything. So it's really a fun time. I love the Iowa State Fair. I love going and just seeing all the people. You know, we live in Union, Iowa, and I have never seen the entire population of Union, which is supposed to be close to 400. I might have seen 50 or 60 at one time on Tar Heel days, but that's probably about it. The multitudes, you know, and we go down the state fair and we see all these people. You know, over a million people. We just worked 3 days, so we just see a half a million, something like that. Not really, but we go around the fair after we get off work. But I just sat back, all the kinds of people, all ages, all sizes, all nationalities, it seems. Everything is all there at the Iowa State Fair. And so, you know, you look out over the multitudes, especially there on the grand fairway there. You look out, and at certain times in the evening, it's just packed shoulder to shoulder with people. The multitudes. There's a lot of people in this old world. Well, Jesus looked out over the multitude, as he was going about city to city and village to village, teaching and healing sickness, helping the people. But when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion. When you see a lot of people that way, what does it do to you? We say, wow, you know, that's a lot of people. But there's a lot of hurts out there. A lot of pain. A lot of problems. A lot of difficulties. And each one of us, each person that makes up that multitude, has something going on in their lives that they need help. None of us are beyond help. And Jesus could look out at people, and he could look at them and see their greatest needs in life. Isn't that something? Well, he was the Son of God. He could look at you right in the eyes, could look at the multitude, all those people gathered, and he could see their needs and see their souls, their deep-seat personalities, that who they really are. Sometimes we search ourselves to find out who we really are. But Jesus knows who we really are. He knows our soul. He knew the multitude's soul. And so as he looked and he saw them, it said they were like sheep scattered that needed a shepherd. And you know, Jesus, as he looks at us, people, he knows we need the shepherd, the good shepherd that gives his life for the sheep. He knows that as he looks at us, first and foremost, that we need someone to guide and direct us and help us and save our souls. You know, Linda and I got in the sheep business a short time. Years ago, we had an acreage down around Fairfield when I worked for Hy-Vee as a meat cutter for several years. That's when I did a lot of the coon hunting down there, Joe. And anyway, we were interested in the store and interested in people around, and we would sometimes think about the needs that people had. Jesus was able to do that a lot more than we could. He was preaching the gospel. That's the good news. People need to hear the good news. There's lots of bad news. Have you noticed that? Bad news is what really sells in the media. You know that? The bad news, the gory news, the hard news, that sells news. Sometimes the good news is overlooked. Not always. But the good news is that Jesus loves you. He loved the people. He loves you. He cares for you. He went to the cross and died for you, shed his precious blood for the atonement of our sin. He loves us. He wants us to have life and life eternal. Not just this life, but a life that's much greater in the future, which we will all go to one place or another. And I hope it's the best place, heaven. That's why I say about our daughter, you know, when you lose someone close to you, you certainly think about heaven more than you did before that. You know, with myself, my family is all gone. As far as my parents, my siblings, my three sisters, my brother, they're all gone. And I hope they're all in heaven. But as you get older, you'll see that in life. Some of you are already seeing that, I'm sure, that this life will end. And it may be sooner than what we think, but we need the Good Shepherd. And that's that Jesus looked out over these people, and he knew that was their deepest need that they had. Even though they were struggling physically and struggling in life, because he said they were scattered like sheep, having no shepherd. And then he gives this verse that there's a great harvest of souls. And he could see that. And we find that he was moved with compassion. His eyes could look out and see the people. Jesus said there is a harvest. A harvest, multitudes. We find, first of all. And then we see that it was a lot of people, and he had compassion on them. And then, thirdly, we see that Jesus saw them. Jesus said something about them, and Jesus wants them to go forward for him. He doesn't want to just talk to them and preach to them and give them the gospel. He wants them to do something about it. He wants them to respond to his voice, to his message, to the needs that's all around them to help others. I'm sure that all of us are aware of what's going on in Israel and Gaza and that area. Linda and I had the privilege of going over there here 4 years ago with our youngest son from Ohio, his church family, and quite an experience. Some of you may have been over there. But I remember when we were at the place where the Sermon on the Mount was given by Jesus, and this area, and they're kind of overlooking this bottom land and hillside, and there was a church there they built on that site, a Catholic church. And there were probably about 30, 40 of us in the group. And I always remember that place because we were all out there taking a picture of ourselves and talking and going on about the place and everything, you know, in conversation. And all of a sudden, we heard somebody say, "Quiet down. Quiet down." Looked over there, and there was a little nun. A little nun, and she was saying, "You're making too much noise in this holy place." Boy, I tell you, I was convicted right away. Hey, we need to calm down here a little bit. We're in a very spatial place. This is where Jesus was. I thought, man, I'm right here where Jesus was. And there he could look out. There was the multitude of people sitting and listening to him as he was preaching and looking at them, seeing their greatest needs in life, seeing their great soul that only he can really see. He knows each one of us. He loves us. And he cares for us as a shepherd would for his sheep. The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. You know, as I look out at all the multitudes in the Middle East, I see all those young people, especially. You know, I looked at, saw some of the pictures of some of the terrorists that were going into Israel, had some pictures of them, and you know, they were young men mainly. Young, I mean like teenager and maybe even 20. Boy, they had certainly been sold, they were brainwashed a lot to do what they were doing. It's almost like they weren't even human beings. But he had pictures of hundreds of them that were gathered. Israel, the people. Even in our own country now, we have multitudes that are gathering, protesting. We have people. Jesus cares about people. And when he looked at them, he saw their greatest need to be saved, to have a relationship with him. But he could not reach all of them in himself. He needed laborers. He needed you and me. He needs laborers like never before in Israel. When we were over there, we met some Christian people. But as a whole, Israel doesn't accept Jesus Christ as their Messiah. But there's missionaries there that are spreading the gospel, and they certainly allow that in Israel. Some of the other countries around there, some of the Muslim countries, won't allow it. But those people, those young people on both sides, what's their greatest need they have in life? To know Jesus. You see, that's what's needed in the Middle East more than anything else. More than guns and bombs and rockets and all that, which is killing many every day. What they need most of all is what Jesus saw in the multitudes, what Jesus sees in you and me, our soul. And that our soul needs to have a deep-seated relationship with him. He's the shepherd. He's the one we need most in life to guide us, direct us, protect us, keep us, love us. The good shepherd loved the sheep, John said, and gave his life for them. Jesus saw. Verse 36, and when Jesus saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Laborers. Who's the laborers? Are we laboring for the Lord? You know, in our country today, dear one, we have a shortage of laborers. Now, I don't know about you farmers who are out and doing the harvest. I know you used to be able to hire men and have people help you with the harvest. I don't know if you can still do that or not. But I know that some of the places are really hurting for laborers. Linda and I went over here to Culver's one day when we were over there. And they were closed in the middle of the day. What? What's going on here? Culver's is closed? They had a sign up on the window that said, we don't have enough help to be open today. What? You don't have enough help to be in business? That's a real problem in our country today, dear one. And let me tell you, it's a real problem for the Lord. You see, there's some people that won't respond to labor. They're satisfied with whatever they have. Maybe some of them are getting a check from the government. I don't know. I get one, but it's Social Security. I don't know why a lot of people don't want to work anymore. Don't want to labor. They're out there, still a lot of people. But dear one, what we need most in this life, for the gospel's sake, for Jesus' sake, is laborers. People that will work and minister for the Lord. Linda and I have a ministry called SIM, Seniors in Ministry. I put some of our material here, written a couple of tracks, testimonies, and then a little black folder there that tells all about our ministry. And we've traveled around all over the country presenting that. And we're thankful we've been able to be in 5 states, and we've been able to be in a lot of cities in Iowa, going to one next week, and the next week, and the next week after that. Iowa's a wonderful place to travel, but it's a little difficult sometimes, real early on Sunday mornings, if we don't stay all night someplace. And someone said, well, you're too old to be doing that. Yeah, that's true. We're too old, but we're doing it anyway. Because to labor for the Lord, dear one, young or old, is the greatest privilege in life. There's nothing that surpasses labor for the Lord. And as Jesus looked out at all the people, he could see that need. There needed to be laborers, taking the word to them, helping them, holding them up, strengthening them, those that were weary. So, dear one, today I want to challenge you as well as myself, and especially myself, because as I looked at this, again, I said, Lord, burn my soul to care about people, to care about all of those in the Middle East, all of them. They all have a soul. Everybody has a soul. Everybody has a personality. Yes, a lot of people have been led astray and are being led astray. That even makes the need even greater. Maybe God's got his hand on you to go to Israel, be a missionary. Wouldn't that be something? Maybe God's got his hand on you to do something that's above the normal. Why? Because you see the need for laborers. Maybe it's right here in Bangor, Iowa. Bangor Liberty Friends Church. Maybe it's right here. Maybe you're already doing it, laboring. There's always people that do, but there's always more that can be done. And especially when it comes to the gospel. I wrote a testimony there in each one of those cards about the time I come to Jesus. Yeah, I grew up religious. I remember when the pastor asked me, when he came and called on us, if I was a Christian, I said, yeah. I'm a Presbyterian, which I was, and that was fine. All my family were Presbyterians. And then I married a Baptist. Isn't that something? And her influence had a great pull on me. But it's not about religion. It's not about a denomination. It's about Jesus. It's about serving Him with your heart, with your soul. Wherever you're at, whatever you're doing, young people, if you're young here today, nothing in this life surpasses serving the Lord. Maybe He's got His hand on you to be a missionary someplace. Maybe right here. The needs are all around us. You know, there's a song, a hymn I want to close with today. I'm not going to sing it, spare you that. But I just want to tell you the last verse of it. The name of it is Rescue the Perishing. Some of you may be in your hymnal. The author of the words was Fanny Crosby. Remember her? A doctor made a mistake with her when she was a baby, and she became blind and didn't make her bitter or anything. She grew up loving the Lord and serving the Lord. Wrote more hymns, I think, than anyone else has. She wrote this. This is what she said in the last verse. Rescue the perishing. Duty demands it. Strength for your labor, the Lord will provide. Back to the narrow way, patiently with them. Tell the poor wanderer of the Savior has died. And I might add, He's resurrected, He's alive. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Jesus is merciful. Jesus will save. I'm so glad that it's in His hands, not mine. I can't save anyone. I can't really help anyone in myself. But in Him, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Amen? Amen. Heavenly Father, thank You for this group here at Bangor. Lord, they're a blessing to me today to look out and see their interest in this sermon. I pray, Lord, especially for myself today, Lord, it has to start with me. Help my heart to burn and be burdened for people. God, help us to pray. That's what Jesus said, to pray. Pray that laborers would be sent to the harvest field. There wouldn't be a shortage of laborers, but the harvest would be abundant and blessed. We know that means people. So thank You again for the ministry of this church, for the pastor, and for the people here. And I pray You would continue to help them to do a great work for You in these days we live. In Jesus' name, amen.